This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka anta al-alimul hakim. Allahumma allimna ma yinfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma wa arina al-haqqa haqqan wa razuqna tiba'ah wa arina al-batila batilan wa razuqna ijtinabah wa adkhilna bi rahmatika fi ibadika al-salihin. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Ahlan wa sahlan everybody, marhaban, welcome to our Fiqh of Salah lecture. I believe we're on lecture number 3, and you remind ourselves that these gatherings of ilm are surrounded by angels. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon the people who sit in these gatherings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people, and inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who leave this gathering with their bad deeds changed into good deeds. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Let's start with some muraja, inshallah. But today, inshallah, what we'll be covering is the conditions for the validity of the prayer. So last week we covered the rulings of the salah, we covered the rulings of iqama and the adhan, and today, inshallah, we probably won't finish all of them because this is one of the biggest parts of the fiqh of salah, which is the conditions, shurut sihhat as-salah. What are the conditions for the salah to be valid? And these are the other topics we'll be covering, inshallah, throughout the series. It's always a good idea to know what we're going to be covering. So let's just do some review, inshallah. I have some candy, and I need to get rid of it. Yeah, the kids are eyeing it, but it's not free. طيب, bismillah. As-su'al al-awwal, first question. And we said that the muraja'a is the most important part. So we said that the 5 prayers are wajib. صح? I could have made that a question, but that's too easy. It's wajib on every what? We mentioned 2 things. Okay? Muslim, ya salam. Okay. I'm gonna throw this. You have to be able to catch it. Bismillah. Muslim. So the first condition is that they have to be a Muslim. So the 5 daily prayers are obligatory on every Muslim. And what's the other one? Aqil u baligh, which is basically is the mukallaf. I have like, ya Salim, come give one to these 4 gentlemen, mashallah. Come give one to all. I'm afraid to hit someone in the eye. So they'll put their hands up, mashallah. Those of you who answered, mashallah. So Muslim and mukallaf. And we said mukallaf means someone who's responsible for the action, and he has... The mukallaf is the one who's baligh and aqil, who's pubescent and sane. And he has to be someone who's sane. And we talked last week in detail about the differences. Inshallah, we'll give you one for the delivery. Bismillah. Tayyib. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. The second question, what is the ruling for the one who denies the obligation of salah? Okay, remember we made a difference between the one who doesn't pray, he prays and doesn't pray, and the one who denies the obligation of salah. Na'am tafaddal. Kafir. Naam, we said that the one, and this is ijma'i, yani there's no ikhtilaf on this one. Yeah, bismillah. طيب. That was a good throw. طيب. So what is the ruling? We said kafir, right? The one who says, I don't have to pray. The one who says, I don't have to pray. Khalas, he's denying one of the main pillars of Islam. Yeah? Min arkan al-salam, min arkan al-islam, al-salah, right? So he's denying that obligation. So that person is by unanimous consensus, by ijma', that he is a disbeliever. طيب. What is the ruling of the adhan? Al-hukum. Naam? Fard kifaya, ya salam. Your dad, See, that's why it's always good to have, you know, your dad there helping you. Inshallah. Oh, mashallah, nice catch. طيب. Naam, fard kifaya. Yani it's an obligation on the whole community. And we said that means that if everybody decides not to do adhan in Calgary, then we are sinful, all of us. Tamam. طيب, it's fard kifaya on who? We mentioned 5 conditions. It's obligatory on who? Fard kifaya on who? 5 things. I'll give... Naam? So muqeem. طيب, Jamil. So I owe you one. Muqeem. Okay. Salim. We got 5 people. Yalla. And take one for delivery. Jazakallah khair. So the muqeem. Stand. Give somebody else a chance. Muqeem. So the one who's a resident. Okay. Naam. What else? Has to be a man. Ah, Salim. It has to be a man right there.
In good character.
Did we say... So, no, we're talking about who it's on obligatory. So, man, the man of the city, resident. What else? Huh? We said man, resident. We said he has to be... What? Free, ahsant, free, right here. Has free man. So if he's a slave, he wouldn't be obligatory on him. And we said for the what? For the naam. The time has to be entered. So the time has to come. So it has to be done after the time. You cannot do it before the time. And we said for all five prayers and Jum'ah. The candies for me. Type. Jameel. And the last question. You took one, yeah? طيب, جميل. جزاك الله خير يا سيدي. What is the ruling of leaving the masjid after the adhan has been called? Huh? No, what is the ruling? This is a fiqh class, so the ruling is the most important part. Huh? Na'am? So you have to stay. Ahsant. Na'am. You have to stay. I'll give both of you one. So you have to stay unless you have an excuse. صح? تفضل. Unless you have an excuse, You have to stay. The adhan is called. You have to stay. Ahsantum, mashallah. We still have a lot, so I have to get rid of them somehow. طيب. Let's continue. So now we go to faslun fi shurut as-salah, right? طبعاً here shurut as-salah, conditions of the salah, meaning shurut sihhat as-salah. Yeah, and the conditions for the salah to be valid. Tamam. Do you guys remember we talked about shurut? One of the أحكام الوضعية is a shart, right? And a shart, anybody remember what a shart is? Or something about it? Condition. It's a condition. نعم. Yeah, so if it's not there, then the ibadah would not be valid, right? If it's not there, then the ibadah would not be valid. So for example, now we're going to be saying the shurut for salah. So one of the shurut of salah is purification. We spent, a whole month and a half on purification, because it's one of the shurut of salah, right? And so that's wajib, and it has to be there. It's a shart. But if it's not there, then it's not. Then the ibadah is not valid. And we talked about the difference between a shart and a rukun, a shart condition and rukun, a pillar. We said both of them, okay. If they're not there, then the ibadah does not count, okay. But we said there's a difference between them, okay. We said the rukun is what? Rukun is something that happens in the ibadah. What shart happens before the ibadah? The rukun, it happens in the ibadah. Like Surah Al-Fatiha has a rukun for salah, right? So that happens in the ibadah. But at-tahara is a shart. It happens before the ibadah. Make sense so far? And we said that the shart, okay, since we're talking about shurut, the shart has to be there the whole time. Does that make sense? So if tahara is a shart, it happens before salah, and it has to stay there until the salah is finished. If you say, okay, I have tahara, Allahu Akbar, you have the shart, but then you lose your shart in the middle. So now khalas, the ibadah is gone. So it has to be there throughout the whole time. Make sense? So so you said shurut are just like pillars, like arkan, except they have the same ruling as abandoning. Yani if you abandon one of them, then the ibadah is invalid. Abandoning it makes the action void. With the following differences, we said pillars take place inside of an action, al-arkan, yani داخل العبادة, while the conditions take place outside, الشرط يكون قبل, okay, it's outside. And then we said pillars do not continue, okay, the pillars don't continue. You do the pillar in the عبادة, right? We said, مثلا سورة الفاتحة, you're not doing سورة الفاتحة throughout the whole salah, you just do it once, وخلاص. While the conditions continue, yani they continue until the عبادة is finished. Tamam. So since we're talking about shurut the whole day, inshallah, today, we need to make sure we understand what a shart is, a condition. طيب جميل. I don't know why that happened, but so we have six shurut. Okay, we have six shurut, and we need to memorize these and know them, because without these six, your salah will not be valid. So number one, and we're gonna go into detail for each one of them. Number one, having ritual purity, at-tahara. And so we spent a whole, month and a half on that. And so that's the first condition. You have to have tahara to be able to pray. Number two, the time of salah has to enter, right? So if you want to pray dhuhr, right, and it's like 10 a.m., you can't pray. So the time has to enter, right? دخول وقت الصلاة. has to enter. And then al-awra, covering the awra, right? The awra of, and we'll talk about different awrat. So that's number three. Number four, avoiding inexcusable najasa, filth, right? On the body, the clothes, and the area you're going to pray. Those three places, okay? On the body, the clothes, and the area where you're going to pray. So avoiding any najasa. Because as you'll see that, if you're praying and you have a najasa, your salah will not count if you know, right? And we have the hadith of Jibreel that came to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he reminded him that he has a najasa, then he took his shoe off in the middle of the salah, right? Tayyib. Number five, facing the qibla. So if somebody has wudu, it's a time for maghrib, ya salam. He covered his awra. There's no najasa, but he decided to pray that way. Is his salah accepted? It's not accepted. If he decided to pray that way, it's not accepted. Fadl. We're going to talk about inshallah. We're going to tafsil. Like, and this is, I like to always have all of them in front of us. We'll talk about inshallah. Facing the qibla. And then number six, al-niyyah. And six, al-niyyah. Obviously, you have to have the intention. And we'll see that the intention here, يعني, the Hanabil are strict with it. It has to be specific. يعني, are you an imam? Are you a mutabi' or a ma'moom? You know, are you doing niyyah for maghrib and it's asr prayer? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we just say, can you just do a regular niyyah? I'm going to pray. So we'll see that there's some strictness, especially with the Hanabi. طيب. So the six of them are tahara, the time has to enter, the awra, avoiding najasa, facing the qibla, and intention. Okay, so bismillah. So there's six of them. So if I ask you next week for some candy, how many conditions, how many shurut? لصحة الصلاة six, huh? إن شاء الله. طيب. ممتاز. طيب. So we're done tahara. We're not going to cover that. يعني we spent plenty of time on that one. So we don't have to cover that one. So the next one we have is the time, the entry of the time of salah. The entry of the time of salah. So he says here, شروط صحة الصلاة ستة. That the conditions for the validity of the salah are six. طهارة الحدث. We're done with that. وتقدمت يعني, he says that we already covered it. ودخول الوقت, okay, ودخول الوقت يعني the entry of the time. فوقت الظهر, and now the author he's gonna start talking about when is ظهر time, when is عصر time, when is مغرب time. طبعا some of you will say, well, you just it's right there. We don't have to spend the whole time. But what if all this shuts down? We need to find a way. We have to know at least how to find the time of salah. You're camping with your family. You know your phone dies. You don't have a charger. You need to find out. يعني it's obligation on you. يعني, and if you had the chance to learn and you're out there and you don't know, figure it out. يعني it might be sinful for that. طيب. So bismillah. So he says here, ووقت الظهر من الزوال حتى يستوي منتصب وفيئه سوى ظل الزوال. طيب. So he says here that the Dhuhr time, okay, is when the sun slightly moves from the highest point. So let's just understand here how the sun works. The sun rises from the east or west, ya Salim? Okay, but one day it will rise from the west. When will it rise from the west? Yeah, this is from the signs of the Day of Judgment, صح? So the sun will rise from the west, subhanAllah, one day. And that will be too late for anybody to do anything. But now it rises from the east. So when it rises from the east, if the sun rises from the east, and I have a bottle here, tamam. So if the sun's rising from the east, obviously there has to be what? There has to be dhil. There has to be a dhil, shade, right? And so the shade is going to be which way? This way, on the western side. The sun rises. Just so we understand what we're talking about now. So it says here, when the sun slightly moves, okay, this is going to be our object of, so everybody can see it. So when the sun slightly moves from the highest point, so the highest point, yani the meridian, I think they call it, is when the sun goes and it reaches the highest point. Now technically, if we're saying it's going up, right, and the shade is growing, when it's right on top of this, technically, is there any shade? There shouldn't be any shade, okay? But there is a slight small shade. They call it az-zawal, okay? So this it says here, when the sun slightly moves from the highest point in the sky towards the west, So when it goes to the highest place now, this is a time of karaha to pray. You're not supposed to pray. We'll talk about that later. But then now the sun moves slightly, which way? This way, to the west. So this is the east, this is the west. Okay. It moves slightly to the west. So now the shade is which way? Now the shade's going to go this way, right? The sun rays are this way. So as soon as it's here, sometimes there's this small shade. We have to count for that later. Okay? Sometimes there's a small shade. So he says now from the highest point in the sky, Zawal, towards the west, the shadow begins to form towards the opposite side. So as soon as it starts moving this way, هذا زالت الشمس يعني زالت الشمس يعني it leaned over to this side. Now you have a shade here. Now it's Dhuhr time. خلاص. So now we know that it's Dhuhr time. So if you're outside, you know, your iPhone is dead, you just get a stick, okay, and you'll know, you'll be able to put it there. And you want to know the measurement of the stick. So you'll see here that we'll be able to determine the salah, okay, according to the measurement of the bottle. Let's say it's a bottle, and maybe twice the bottle, and so on. Tamam. So when is it Dhuhr? When the sun moves over just a little bit, and there's a bit of shade here. Khalas, now it's Dhuhr time. Wadih? So now it's Dhuhr time. Taib. Dhuhr is easy. I started with Dhuhr because the author started with Dhuhr. So, yani, Allah alam if he has a specific intention for that. طيب. And then he says, وَيَلِيهِ الْمُخْتَارُ لِلْعَصْرِ وَيَلِيهِ الْمُخْتَارُ لِلْعَصْرِ حَتَّى يَصِيرَ ظِلُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَيْهِ سِوَى ظِلِّ الزَّوَالِ. So he says now, وَيَلِيهِ يعني after it comes, okay, the Asr prayer, like the time for Asr, okay. طبعاً when the time of Asr enters, the time of Dhuhr stops. When the time of Asr enters, the time of Dhuhr stops. When is Asr? He says when the shadow of an object, so this is our object, when the shadow of our, you know, our Costco water, real Canadian water, tamam, when the shadow of an object is equal to itself plus the shadow of Zawal. Remember we said there's a shadow of Zawal, even it might be straight on top, because of the position of the earth, of the sun, and where you are on earth, sometimes there's a small extra shade, we call that zawal. So, as long as now the sun is here, for example, and we get the shadow. طبعاً, by the way, يعني just for this is called fate now. Fate. So if you hear the word ظل وفيت. والله أعلم the difference. The ظل is when it's showing this way. يعني when the sun rises this way. هذا ظل. And when the sun is going that way, تمام. It's called fate. Fate. So you hear the word fate. Which is like we say fay in some dialects. Fay, yani this is the fay that is mentioned here. The author mentions. So now he says, the shadow of an object is equal to itself plus the zawal. Yani you're gonna have a shadow now. The sun is somewhere here. Okay, the shadow now is the same size of this plus that little shadow that we had in the beginning. Okay, so let's say this is. Who wants to guess how long this is? 8 inches. Why can't we do centimeters? Let's say this is 8 inches, huh? 60 centimeters? Let's say it's 60 centimeters. Well, the example I have is 50. Let's just say this bottle is 50. I forgot I put numbers. Let's say if this bottle is 50 centimeters. But when is it Asr time? It's going to be Asr time when we have the length of this, which is 50 centimeters, and the shadow is 50 centimeters, plus that. The length of that zawal that we talked about before, let's say it's 10 centimeters, just for math. So once the shade is 60 centimeters, 50 plus the 10 from the zawal, now it's Asr time, tamam? And remember we said that Asr time has two times. Asr time has the time of choice and the time of necessity, tamam? For the time of choice ends when the shadow is twice the size of the object. Yani you're supposed to pray in that time. It's wajib to pray in that time unless you have an excuse. That's why the second time is called the time of necessity. So we have the time from when Dhuhr ends, right? So when the shade is, let's say, for example, 60 centimeters, until now it's how long? Twice the size. What's twice the size? So it's going to be 100 plus العشرة, the 10 that we had before. So it's going to be 110. So now the time of choice ends, right? So now you should have prayed Asr. You should have prayed Asr. So you're supposed to pray Asr from when the shadow is the same size of the item and a bit more until it's twice as much. So if you had a stick there, you could watch it. Like if you're in camping and you had the stick, you could watch it. You can kind of see. You can even mark it with your stick, you know, to see how long it is. And you can kind of like, you know, watch it go. You're like, okay, now it's time to pray. I need to pray. Tamam? Type that now that when it's twice and a bit more, now the time of choice ends. Time of choice, we said, meaning, يعني, after this, it's time of tahrim. Time of tahrim. Okay? يعني, if you pray after that time until the sunset, okay, without an excuse, you still prayed it as ada, يعني, on time, lakin, you are sinful if you don't have an excuse. What's an excuse? What's an excuse? What's a valid excuse? يعني, someone was asleep who woke up. Or maybe يعني, someone just became baligh all of a sudden. Right? A child just became baligh, a woman just, you know, became baligh, or maybe her haid stopped right there, right? And it's the time of necessity now, then it's fine for her. She prays that time, she's not sinful. Wallahu a'lam. So the time of necessity ends at sunset. So if you do pray in the time of necessity, yani, this is asr time, okay, and this is maghrib time, right? The time of necessity, okay, is like that small period here. If you do pray in that time, it's still a valid salah, yani, on time, lakin you're sinful without an excuse. Okay? So you're not allowed to purposely delay it until that time. You're not allowed to purposely delay it until that time. Tamam, we're good with Asr. Tayyib. Al-Mukhtar, he says, وَيَلِي الْمُخْتَارِ لِلْعَصْرِ حَتَّى يَسِيرَ ذِلْ طَيِّب. He says, وَالضَّرُورَةُ إِلَى الْغُرُوبِ. يعني وقت الضرورة, the time, okay, of necessity is until غروب. غروب يعني the sunset. Until غروب. The sunset will set in the west. طيب. نعم. ويليه المغرب حتى يغيب الشفق الأحمر. Now we go to مغرب. Now we go to مغرب. So right now, we prayed مغرب. How did we know it was مغرب? You just checked your phone, alhamdulillah. That's a great ni'mah. لكن technically, if you didn't have that, it says here, مغرب begins at sunset, okay, and ends when the redness in the horizon disappears, right? So as soon as the sun sets, it's much easier to figure that one out. You see the sunset, right? That's when Maghrib comes in and ends when the redness in the horizon disappears. Where is this redness coming from? From the sun. Yani it's the sun is like, you know, yani it's set, but the rays are still coming out, so it's, you can see kind of redness, right? And if you pay attention, you'll see the redness in the sky. In the sky, yeah. Al-Shafaq al-Ahmar, they call it. طيب. And then he says, yeah, so it's left over from the sun, from the sun rays. طيب, جميل. Then he says, وَيَلِيهِ, okay, الْمُخْتَارُ لِلْعِشَاء. So remember we said Al-Asr has two times, and Al-Isha has two times, a recommended time, or the time where you're supposed to pray, and one that is not, you're not allowed to pray in that time. Isha similar with the Hanabila, and they say that the time you're supposed to pray, right, is in the, before the third of the night. For مثلا احنا, we have Maghrib is at 7:03, and Fajr is what time? 6:15. So how many hours is that? 5, 11. فثلث 11 here, it would be like, I don't know, 3.5 hours, 3:40 minutes or something. So 3:40 minutes. Yeah, so that, يعني from that would be like the third of the night. Okay, so from the Maghrib time until those 3 hours, I don't know, it's like 10:30 or 11. That would be the third of the night, right? طبعاً, there are narrations mentioning that it is recommended to do ta'khir of Isha, but طبعاً with conditions, يعني unless you're with jama'ah, but not ahead of the 1/3. So it begins when the redness in the horizon disappears. So the redness is gone now. Now it's going to be Isha time. So the time of choice ends at the end of the first third of the night. Okay. Now the time of necessity begins, and that ends, okay, after the Fajr comes. Right. It says here ends at the second Fajr. What do I mean by second Fajr? Second day's Fajr. Huh? The next day's Fajr. Okay. Good guess. Because as you will see now, we haven't discussed Fajr, but there's a fake time and a real time, right? Al-Kadhib, yani, we'll talk about it, inshallah. That, yani, there's a kind of a light that you see that it's not really Fajr time, and then there's the real Fajr time, which is discussed in the books of Fiqh. And you can see it, yani, if you wake up early, if you have a clear place to see it, you'll be able to see it. طيب, so Fajr begins, يقول هنا, let's read the Arabic first. نعم. جميل. ويليه الفجر, he says, ويليه الفجر, ويليه الفجر إلى الشروق. ويليه الفجر إلى الشروق. يعني, and Fajr comes until الشروق, until sunset. So Fajr begins at the second real Fajr and ends at sunrise. So the second Fajr begins with a horizontal light. You'll see a horizontal light appearing in the horizon. You'll see like a light. Yeah, this is the real Fajr. But there's a fake light that goes kind of vertically. This is the fake Fajr, they call it. Yeah, the fake the first one. Yani, the first Fajr. This is the one that you don't go. This is not the one that shows you the time of Fajr. It's the one that goes horizontally, okay, that flat light. This is the one that tells you that now it's time for Fajr. Naam. So that's the time of Fajr. So those are the five times of prayer. I have an image here. This is the best image I found. But I don't know, for some reason he put sunset on the left side. I mean sunrise on the left side. So I'm not sure why he did that. But basically, assuming sunrise, yani, assuming our east is that way and our west is that way, tamam. So this is, see, as you can see here, he put his sunset here. So when the sun comes out, right? So here, this is the Fajr that we were talking about. The first Fajr and the second Fajr, right? Once the second Fajr comes in, like the second light that we were talking about, that's the Fajr time. And depending where you are, yani, the degrees can matter. That's why we have sometimes discrepancies with the times here. It's because of according to which angle are you following for the times of Salah. طيب, then we have the sunrise, right? And we said when the sun rises, okay, when the sun rises, we have here the sunrise, right? The shadow is going to be this way, okay? You know what? I think I flipped this image. Yeah, I did flip it, okay. You can't read the text because it's flipped. But let's say, so here's the sunrise, right? So when the sun rises, okay, the shade is going to be here. You guys can see my mouse, right? Yeah. So when the sun rises from the east, this is the east, the shade is going to be here, right? When the sun reaches the meridian, the top here, now there shouldn't be any shade, but because of the positioning of the sun and where we are, sometimes there's a small shade, which is zawal, right? A small shade. Now the sun moves a bit, now it's dhuhr. Like, see that like silver shade here? As soon as you have that little shade here, this is now Dhuhr time. So now it's Dhuhr time, Dhuhr time, Dhuhr time. When is it going to be Asr time, we said? When the shade is the same size as this guy with a little bit of extra, okay? So let's say here, okay, this would be like Asr time. Okay, the time that is not allowed to pray starts after it's double the shade. So now let's say it goes here, and then you have double the shade of this guy here. Now the time that is the recommended time for Asr finishes, and then you have the time of necessity, okay? And so on. Then the sun sets, this is Maghrib time, right? Isha time is when the redness in the sky disappears, okay? The redness of the sky disappears, that's Isha time. And then as we mentioned, Fajr time is when the second light shows, and that will be your Fajr time. And so with that we have, alhamdulillah, finished the first shart, which is what? What's the first shart of Salah? At-Tahar. Good, alhamdulillah. And the second shart, Ya Uzir, what's the second shart? We just spent now 25 minutes on it. The entry of the time, right? And we mentioned the five awqat as-Salah. طيب. Some other rulings related to the times of Salah. We are not obligated to pray immediately after the time comes in, right? So, we said أحب الأعمال الله, okay, الصلاة يعني في وقتها, from the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praying the salah on time, يعني early, okay. لكن is it obligatory to pray right away when the time comes? No, okay. So we have narrations about the delaying of Isha. We have narrations about the delaying of Isha. We have narrations about praying Maghrib early right away, okay. So that's from one of the things that was recommended. And we have some narrations actually about Dhuhr. Okay, delaying it a little bit. Okay, and that's why sometimes our Dhuhr, like, we delay it a bit. We pray it like at 2 o'clock. Why? Because there's a hadith about the Prophet ﷺ mentions that there's a heat at the early time of Dhuhr, and this is from Jahannam. So they said this is karaha. This is a karaha. Yani this is a reason to kind of just stay away from it. So these things are recommended. So what's the hukum for this? This is mustahab. Yani mustahab ta'khir al-isha, mustahab ta'khir al-dhuhr qalilan fi ayyam al-harara. Yani it's very hot. Yani that's only 6 months here, right? So the other 6 months, no worries about that. And Salat al-Maghrib, you know, as early as possible. And that's why we pray Maghrib in most places 10 minutes after. 10 minutes after. Tayyib. Mumtaz. Tayyib. There's a debate in the books of fiqh about Salat al-Wusta that's mentioned in Surah al-Baqarah, right? Ala salawat. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى صح؟ This is the ayah. نعم. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is subhanAllah interesting. This is mentioned in the middle of talaq. the ayat of talaq are mentioned, and then in the next page, okay, before more ayat about talaq, Allah says, you know, preserve حافظوا على الصلوات, preserve your صلوات, okay, and يعني there's wisdoms for that. That in this, such a difficult time like talaq, one of the most difficult times. The thing that will help you the most is what? Is as-salah. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. In the same surah, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Because it's a difficult time, right? And so if you take care of your salah, right? In times like these, sometimes the shaitan comes and says, you know, you have an excuse, just don't. People will not shower, people will not like pray, people will not go to work. They'll just be miserable. But when you take care of your salah, and he says, was-salat al-wusta. And the fuqaha debated, Salat al-Wusta, which one is it? There's two opinions. Either it's Asr or Fajr. Yeah, it's Asr or Fajr. The Hanabila say, Salat al-Wusta is Salat al-Asr. Because why? There's actually a hadith, specific hadith says, Salat al-Wusta, Salat al-Asr. Like there's a hadith that specifically says, you might say, well, how did the other guys say other than that? Allah alam, most likely the hadith didn't reach them, or they didn't see the hadith as authentic. طيب. And na'am, actually, like the ayah, we can go deeper into that. But in the ayah, أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل, right? And some other verses, they give indication that Fajr might be the middle one. They give indication. It is an acceptable opinion for sure. لكن this had a نص ظاهر واضح, so it's very difficult to go against them. والله تعلم يعني. طيب, it says it's recommended. Okay, it's mustahab to delay the prayer if a person does not know all of the wajibat of salah. So let's say someone, مثلاً, is learning. Like you just accepted Islam, you came and you don't know the obligations. It's okay to delay the salah, right? Until, you know, of course, before the time, okay? If he doesn't know the wajibat of salah, he doesn't know how to pray and he needs to pray, he should try his best to learn before time for prayer ends. If he cannot, then he does whatever he can. For Asr and Isha, such a person can delay even until the time of necessity. The person عم بتعلم الصلاة هلا, I don't know, he just became baligh and now he just realized, okay, he came to the halaqah and the sheikh said, you have to pray at this age. And you know, the time is ending and he doesn't know his wajibat, his obligation. So he learns them quickly, he delays the salah and he prays it, that's fine. يعني ما في مشكلة للتأخير. This is, يعني he mentioned this because this is an excuse for praying in the time of necessity or even delaying the salah. طيب, when does it count that you made the salah? Okay, so let's say now like someone didn't pray Maghrib, and you know, he came, walked into the masjid right now, and it's like 8:31, 8:32, okay, it's just 8:33, right? So it's 8:32, okay, he comes in, he makes wudu, and then he says Allahu Akbar, and then the muaddin makes the adhan. Okay, Allah, did he reach his salah? Ma ra'ayk? Yeah, so the Hanabila say that as long as he reached takbirat al-ihram, yani technically 5 seconds, right? 5 seconds before the, as long as he made his niyyah and his tahara, has all the conditions, he says, Allahu Akbar, takbirat al-ihram. We'll talk about it next week, inshallah, when we describe the salah. Takbirat al-ihram, Allahu Akbar. And then someone does the adhan for Isha. He has reached salatul Maghrib. He has reached Salatul Maghrib. Yeah, we're talking about Maghrib. طيب. So if he catches Takbirat al-Ihram in the time of the Salah, he's considered to have caught the prayer on time. Why are we talking about prayer on time and not on time? Like, is it a big deal if you just, it's just 5 seconds? Why are we emphasizing on praying on time? It is going to be? Yeah, it's going to be haram. Okay, Yeah, and Salah has to be prayed on time. For now, it will not count as he prayed it on time. He will count as he prayed it as qada, right? And that's a major sin for someone who doesn't have an excuse for that. Tayyip, so it says here, he's considered to have caught the prayer on time. Example, a person wakes up from sleep during the last moments of Asr. So he makes wudu and says takbir al-ihram, and then right then the time of Maghrib comes in, he's considered to have caught the prayer, just like the example we just gave. But this is haram to do without an excuse. And if someone is sitting down and he's watching the Super Bowl or whatever, or he's watching a movie, and he's like, Slav time. There's like a minute. I still have time to do takbir al-ihram. Okay, there's 30 seconds. I still have time. And then he gets up and prayed. This person is sinful. Okay? Because you're not supposed to delay the salah until this time, unless you have an excuse. And we said that there's different kinds of excuses, right? A person wakes up, a person forgets. Yeah, it happens all the time. So this is haram to do without an excuse. Thus, it would be a sin. And just to kind of side note, the prayer has three times, right? You can think of the early, the middle, and the end, right? And so you should try to pray in the early and in the middle times. Don't leave it in the end, especially like when, now that time is coming back, it's very, very easy to miss a prayer. Like the time just starts going crazy now. Like in January, Maghrib is going to be what time? Like 4, yeah. So, some people they're like, oh, I don't like to pray at work. I'll just pray it when I go home. No, you're going to miss like 3 salahs if you delay your prayer until you get home. So you have to be very careful with the awqat. This is a challenge we have here in the West, kind of. In the East, it's pretty consistent. طيب. Jamil. So question, are we allowed to delay it until the last few seconds intentionally? No, we're not. طيب. Just make sure. طيب. It says here, a person cannot start until, okay, he cannot start the prayer until he is certain that the time has entered. You might say, what do you mean certain? We know, khalas, it says on the, Brother Afzal put the time, we trust him, okay? Taban, we're saying about the person who is not sure, okay? So you have to have yaqeen. Taban, when we talk about ilm, al-idraq, al-ilm, some of the manatiq, or the scholars of mantiq, of logic, they'll say that the levels of ilm are like 5. So they'll say that you have yaqeen. And yaqeen is, if you want to put it into numbers, 100%. Al-yaqeen is 100%. So we know yaqeenan that there's a day of judgment. Sah? Nobody has less than that. If you have less than that, then you have a problem with your iman. So yaqeen is 100%. You go on the opposite side, okay? On the opposite side, 0 is what? Al-jahl. Jahl is 0 on the opposite. So let's say this is 100 yaqeen, and this is like jahl, 0%. You have no knowledge. You're jahl. Okay, so someone says, what day is it today? You have no idea. You were in a coma, you woke up, I don't know. You're jahil, tamam? طيب. In the middle, we have something called what? 50% is shak. For shak, okay, is, it could be 50%, 50%. So shak is at 50%. So we have yaqeen, we have jahil, we have shak. We have something on the that's closer to yaqeen, that is ghalabat al-dhan. Okay, غلبت الظن is like when you kind of, I'm almost 100% sure. So they say that's like between 70 and 80%. تمام؟ غلبت الظن. You're like, I think it's Asr time, but you're closer to yaqeen then, right? And then you have something that is ظن, that's less than that. It's between shak, it's between doubt and غلبت الظن. Right, and then you have something on the other side, which is less than 50%, okay, and that's al-wahm. You're most likely wrong, okay. I'm just mentioning this because sometimes you read them in the books of fiqh, or I'll be mentioning them, and you'll be like, what does it mean ghalabat al-dhan? When I say ghalabat al-dhan, close to certainty, okay, it's close to certainty. So it says here, a person cannot start the prayer until he is certain that the time has entered. Alhamdulillah, now we can have yaqeen. But if you're outside, you're not sure, you need to make sure. Meaning he strives to find out if the time has come in or not. Okay, so it says your example, he actually sees the sun set for Maghrib. So let's say you don't have a watch, you don't have your iPhone. You see the sunset for Maghrib, that's what? Yaqeen, you saw it with your eyes. This is yaqeen, tamam? Tayyib. If he's certain, if his certainty is not at level of yaqeen, if you're not 100% sure, okay, then ghalabat al-dhan is sufficient. So in the madhab here, they say that, yani if you're almost sure that it's the time, then that's sufficient for you. That is sufficient for you. If he prays with shak, anything lower than ghalabat al-dhan, shak or dhan, then your salah will not be counted. Okay, and he must pray it again, even if it's in time. So that's why it's really important for the person to make sure that they know the time of prayer has entered. طيب. طبعا if he's not sure and he ended up finding out later that it was after the time, it would be qada, right? It would come to qada, you wouldn't have to make it up. But if it was before the time, he was wrong and he was before the time, then he would have to make up the prayer for sure. Naam. Nowadays, you're not talking about any stick and shadow. You're talking about like now.
Nowadays, for example, can there are different messages or your phone is different than
a couple of minutes. Yeah, has more knowledge of this one, but I think it's more about the angle that they're following. Okay, depending on where you are situated geographically, right? So. That angle that they follow for the calculation, it makes a difference. And especially here in the West, the main issues that we have is what? I believe it's Isha time, right? Later, when it becomes late, like in the summers, you have issues with that. And the Fajr times as well. So, the Maghrib is not... Last year, there was an error. The posters were printed, I think, one day ahead or something because of the leap year. Lakin, alhamdulillah, like here in Calgary, I think most of them now have the same calendar, sah? Like I think all the masajid got together and they said this is the right time and we're going to stick to that, alhamdulillah. That was an issue a few years ago, but now, alhamdulillah, it's been kind of dealt with, alhamdulillah.
The other question is like, what if somebody traps somewhere, like you can't see, like, sun and stuff like this?
Bijtahad. Yani he will have to do ijtihad. This is similar to the hadith al-Dajjal, Zakhlah Khair, right? The hadith al-Dajjal. So when the Prophet ﷺ told him that 40 days and one day is like the Sahaba, the question was, how are we going to calculate the salah? He says, قدروا لها, يعني just calculate, يعني just do your best to calculate, right? I told you the story of the brother, yani who was, you know, with a bag on his head in a military plane and in the middle of the air, right? So, yani he just do ijtihad, yani ijtihad, you know, he has an idea. Sometimes he'll see the darkness. Sometimes, just like even sometimes when you're flying on the plane, you kind of know that you're gonna land, مثلاً عصر time in that country, and you left, you know, this time, and you look outside, and so you can kind of, yani, tishtahad, you try your best to figure out when to pray. But it wouldn't make sense for you to pray asr when it's dark. Obviously, it's not asr time, man. It's like, obviously, you've missed it now. But you can see from, yani, in those times when you can't tell, you do, yani, you just try your best. Fattaqullaha mastata'tum. That's always the qa'ah that we go to. If he did this, his best to try to determine the prayer time and prayed, and then later realized that it had not yet come in, then he has to repeat the prayer, right? And so if he tried to find out, he couldn't find out, then he found out he prayed dhuhr, yani before the zawal aslan. The sun was still on this side, okay? He prayed it like in duha time or something like that, dhuhr. So he finds out later, then he needs to repeat it because salah, from the shurut of salah is the time, dukhul al-waqt. That's the whole point of this. Dukhul al-waqt has to be there. طيب. نعم تفضل.
Yeah,
One more time. Even if it's 5 minutes before dukhul waqt? Okay, so what about, what's the question exactly? If you prayed your prayer before the time, yeah, you'd have to redo it. Yeah, it happens. Like even sometimes, it will happen to us. Like the, I don't know, the time doesn't reset, or you're looking at the wrong time, or you have a, you know, you have a those clocks, and you're looking, and the battery died or something. Then you find out, then you prayed, right? And the person, inshallah, is excused if he didn't do it intentionally. Wallahu ta'ala. But he has to make up the salah. طيب, one who hits age of puberty before time, okay, for the current prayer, right? Before the before time for the current prayer exits. So, yeah, and it's not Isha time, right? So someone hits puberty right now, okay? Is it obligatory for him? Is he mukallaf now? Is wajib for him to pray? Yeah, tafadhal. Someone confirm that fact. Okay. So for those people who have يعني, long, there's no sunset and there's no. So there's two opinions. يعني, one opinion says that you follow the time that's closest to you. If you're in Nunavut يعني, or Alaska or something. Then you follow the closest time closest to you. The time closest to you. I don't know, wherever it is. I don't know, Northern Alberta somewhere or Tamam. The second opinion is that you follow the times of Mecca. Yeah. And wallahu alam, I believe there's a third opinion that you break up your times. You figure it out. Yeah, you look at the time of the day. And then you break it up into five and you pray your five daily prayers, just like the Sahaba would do, or not the Sahaba, the Sahaba will not be there. Whoever is alive in the time of Dajjal, okay, they will have to do that. They will just have to break up their prayers. We have an idea actually kind of when, yani when the salahs would be. Like we have an idea that, you know, Maghrib and Isha between them is an hour and a half on average. Yani we have an idea. But those are the three opinions. Yani wallahu a'lam, I'm not sure which one is the best. I've never been in that position. It seems like it might make more sense to follow the place that's closest to you. Allahu a'lam. And if someone follows the time of Mecca and Medina, there's no problem. Yani. Allahu jazakallahu khair. طيب. طيب. So now someone became baligh, okay? It's still Maghrib time. Does he have to pray Maghrib? Huh? Yeah. Yes? Yeah, he has to pray Maghrib, right? Because he's mukallaf now. Khalas, he's mukallaf. So you must pray the current prayer and the one before. Do you remember we talked about this in Tahara? Right? So he must pray the prayer right now and the one before. Yani whatever you can join with. Tamam? Whatever prayer you can join with, then you pray you pray both of them. So مثلاً, let's say it's Asr time right now. He became baligh. So now he has to pray Asr and Dhuhr, both of them. Where do we get this? There's some athar of the Sahaba, right? So it says here, he must pray the current prayer and the one before it if it's a joinable prayer, مثل الظهر and عصر, and or مغرب and عشاء. So before time exits means if he's able to catch takbir al-ihram. So خلاص now, مثلاً, let's say it's عصر time, he became baligh, right? Or a woman, her height stopped, her blood stopped. So now she has to quickly, you know, do tahara, he has to do tahara, and they have to pray Salatul Asr, and then they're also responsible for Salatul Duhur because it's a joinable Salah, okay? Same with woman of menses who becomes clean during a joinable prayer, or same a person who becomes sane after he's insane, someone who's majnoon, insane, he became sane right now he's mukallaf because he's aqil. Remember we said that one of the conditions for wujub al-salah is that you're aqil, that you're sane. So he became sane now, becomes sane, now he's responsible to pray that prayer. And I said there are narrations from Ibn Abbas, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, on combining joinable prayers if the previous one was missed for some reason. Yani if you're praying Asr, you also pray Dhuhr Salah. Yani this is from the athar of some of the Sahaba. The missed prayers must be made up immediately before praying the current prayer and in order unless. So this is important because, subhanAllah, I forgot to read the Arabic. But this is important because he says here that, let's say someone missed, مثلاً, Asr prayer, okay? And now it's Maghrib prayer. Does he pray Maghrib first or Asr first? So the default is that you have to pray them in order, okay? Because the prayers have been obligated in that order and you should pray them in order. So you must pray them in that order, okay? Unless, okay, it is harmful for him for some reason, okay? يعني مثلا, we mentioned here, for example, he has to work and does not have time and could lose his job, مثلا. I don't know. يعني, let's say you missed Asr, you missed Duhur, and now it's Asr time, tamam, and you don't have time to pray Duhur, you just have time to pray Asr, or maybe Asr is going to extend until you leave your job, and you're scared you might lose your job or whatever, you have a good reason, يعني it's harmful for you, then you can delay that Duhur prayer until Asr, after Asr, okay, because it's already gone, aslan. It's already gone. Or you forget, يعني you missed Duhur, and you have no idea that you forgot it, and you're praying Asr, and you're like, you finish Asr, and then you're like, oh my God, I didn't pray Duhur. And this happens, subhanAllah. So now it's okay, you pray your Duhur, no problem. Or he fears missing the current prayer or missing the time of choice. So, you know, you miss Duhur, and now it's Asr time, and it's like, there's only a few minutes. So do you risk losing Asr as well? Or do you pray Duhur? So you haven't prayed Duhur, and now Asr is about to finish. Technically, you're supposed to pray Duhur first. Type. There's only time for one prayer. Which one do you pray? Asr. Huh? Asr. You pray your Asr. Okay, you pray your Asr because Asr, now you don't want to also lose that one. And then you pray Duhur right after that. Right after that. And that's why like this question happens sometimes. People come in and they say, مثلاً, I see a jama'ah and I missed my Duhur. Right? So what do you do? What do you guys think? What do you do? Naam, ahsant. And wallahu alam, that's one of the opinions, and I think that's closest to the principles here, is that yeah, you join with the niyyah of the salah that you missed, the one that comes before this one, and you finish with them, okay? If you have to stay seated, you stay seated. Yeah, and if it's different, if it's not 4-4, if it's not, or if you're late, and then you pray the other one after by yourself, or you wait for another jama'ah. Naam. But here you have to see what's awla, yani what's a bigger priority. And here they see that the priority is that you pray it in order more than the jama'ah here. He prayed jama'ah with them, technically. He prayed jama'ah with them. And he can pray a second jama'ah after. He can just wait for a few people. He will get his jama'ah, yani if he just waits. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam, yeah. لا ينتظر الأولى أن ينتظر يعني he's saying you come in, you missed Maghrib and they're praying Isha, you start with them, okay, you're done at the third one and they're about to get up, تمام. Here what the ulama they say is you stay seated, okay, وتنتظر الإمام, because you're not allowed to break the salah without the imam, you have to be there, you wait in your sujood. And then when they go down and they taslim, you do taslim, and inshallah, that's one of the opinions, and I think that it's an acceptable opinion. طيب. So we're done with, so the first one is what? The shurut. We've done the first one, which is? Tahara. طيب. Allahu Akbar. There's how many in total, Ya Ayman? How many shurut for salah? Yusuf, how many shurut? Huh? Six. طيب. I was going to give you candy, man, but. طيب, six conditions for salah, right? For the validity of salah. The first one we covered, which is tahara, okay? Then we covered what? Dukhul al-waqt, okay? The entering of the time. And the third one was? Huh? We haven't covered the third one. We're about to cover the third one right now. طيب. See, tricked you again. طيب. So the third one is covering the awra. طيب, we said Isha is in 10 minutes. طيب. I think we could stop at the adhan and pray it. Right after, inshallah. Yeah. So we don't keep you guys too long. We don't want to keep the halakha too long. So covering the awra. Tamam. So this is the third condition that you have to cover the awra. So if someone prayed naked, would that be accepted? Would not be accepted. What if he doesn't have clothes? We mentioned this in the... Yeah, you do it fast. And if someone has nothing, absolutely nothing, and he's muttar, and يعني, he has to pray, we say he does it fast with the minimum. We gave the example of the brother who was in prison, and when you hear some of the conditions of the prisons and the torture and all these things, يعني, it's a disaster. يعني, sometimes they have them naked, sometimes they have them, you know, يعني, المطر مطر. طيب, covering the awra, bismillah. So, I'm going to try to go back to my Arabic because, طيب. So, الثالث, he says here, الثالث ستر العورة. So, covering the awra. He says, وَيَجِبُ حَتَّى خَارِجِهَا وَفِي خَلْوَةٍ وَظُلْمَةٍ بِمَا لَا يَصِفُ الْبَشَرَ. So, he says here that يجب, it's obligatory. Even outside the salah. So, it's obligatory in salah. And now the author, he wants to tell you that, by the way, also outside of salah, okay, a Muslim should be covered. Yani the awra should be covered. Yani you shouldn't be, yani for no legitimate reason, naked in the house or wherever you are. He says, حَتَّى فِي ظُلْمَةٍ. He says, وَفِي خَلْوَةٍ. خَلْوَة, yani when you're secluded by yourself. He says, وَظُلْمَةٍ. Okay. بِمَا لَا يَصِفُ الْبَشَرَ. So even if you're in a dark room by yourself, you shouldn't be naked for no reason. Tamam? You shouldn't just be naked for no reason. Yani there's reasons for that. But even just from the haya point of view, yani from having shame and etc., that you shouldn't expose yourself like that. So he says it must be covered even outside of the prayer. So al-awra should be even covered outside of the prayer. Even if you are alone in a dark room, yani whether you're in prayer or not, if the clothes... So here he says... بما لا يصف البشرة. يعني, what if someone has some clothes on? Okay, he's covering the awra, لكن شفاف. يعني, it's see-through. Does that count as covering the awra? No. He says it has to be able to properly cover the awra. If the clothes describe the color of the skin, يعني شفاف, transparent, then it invalidates the salah. But if describes size, shape alone, it can be makruh. So here he says it covers, but it's like really tight. Then he says there could be karaha in that for someone who covers the awra, but it's really tight, because you shouldn't have that. It's not really part of the hijab. طيب. The awrat in the madhab are three kinds. تفضل. نعم. That's coming. That's number four, inshallah. The fourth condition. Abshir, it's coming. He wants candy. See, he's when someone asks the question, you know, like, I want some candy. Inshallah, we'll give you some. So three types of awra. Tamam. And so the Hanabila, they break them up into three, and the three awrats. So they say the first one, awrat al-rajul wabni ashar ila qubayl al-bulugh wal-ama wal-hurra wal-murahiqa. So they say here that the first type of awra is for the man, the free, yani the young free adolescent girl who has not reached puberty, tamam, the slave girl, right? This group of people, their awra is between the navel and the knees, between the navel, right, like kind of your waist and your knees. So that's their main awra, okay? That's their main awra for those three people. The second awra is for the child. He says, the second awra here, this is in the footnotes, this is why sometimes it's hard to find. Awratu ذكر ابن سبع إلى عشر. Okay. فعورته الفرجان. لأنه دون البلاغ. طيب. So then he says the child from 7 to 10 years old, his awra is the two private parts. Okay. The child from 7 to 10 years old, is their awra is the private parts, the two private parts. And then the third group is the free woman who has reached age of puberty. The woman who has reached her يعني, بالغة يعني. So her awra is all her body. So he says here, awratul hurra, fahiya kullaha awra. Okay, illa wajaha falaysa bi'auratin fi as-salah. So all of her is awra. Okay, the woman that has reached puberty, all her body is to be covered except her face in salah, right? And this is the mu'tamad in the madhab. There's some other riwayat in mu'tamad, meaning this is the strong and taken opinion of the madhab. Some allowed hands to be revealed as well. And then he says here that this is dakhil as-salah. Lakin kharij as-salah, she's not allowed to, this is the opinion of the madhab. I know this is a long discussion, niqab, hijab. Lakin in the madhab, that the woman who's baligha, okay, pubescent, she's not allowed to show her face to strange men, غير mahram. She's not allowed to show her face to non-mahram men outside of the salah. In the salah, she removes her head covering, okay. But outside the salah, she's not supposed to cover. And we know the long debate, يعني, between أصلا, even from the time of the sahaba and the madhahib. Is the niqab, is it wajib or not? In the madhab here, it is wajib. And so the woman that is at that age, she has to wear the niqab. So those are the three awrat. So when we speak of awrat, those are the three awrat. Fadli, you had a question? Naam. Is your salah valid if you have a picture on it? Yeah, a picture of like an animal or something like that. Yeah, this is one of those because aslan you're not supposed to have images like that, right? Even like on the socks, etc., because of the tahrim of that. Does it invalidate your salah? I'm not sure. Allahu alam. Let me just make sure, and I can answer that inshallah next week. Does it invalidate your salah? I'm not sure right now. It's not. Tafadhal. You said what?
Says something
bad. In salah? Oh, okay. Yeah, something that says foul language or something like that. Allah alam, there might be karaha in it. I don't see why it would invalidate someone's salah. I'm not sure why that would invalidate. Is there a reason why it would invalidate? La la, but what if it's in the front? If it's covered. Naam, I understand. Wallahu a'lam, it's not one of the conditions of salah. So does it is he sinful? So two questions: is he sinful? And that's one question. And the other question is: does it invalidate his salah? So in fiqh, you have to be very specific. I don't see a reason why it would invalidate. I don't see a reason right now unless somebody can think of a reason. Is he sinful? Yeah, probably sinful for sure. But does it invalidate salah? I don't see a reason. I will make sure, inshallah, and bring it up, inshallah, next week. Let's finish the awrah, and then I think we'll stop there. We'll do the other three next week. So he says, if someone's awrah has been exposed during the salah, this is a common thing. Okay? So you're praying, and someone's behind is shown. This is probably the most common awrah that is exposed in the salah. Salat al-Jum'ah, in salah. So here's the thing. When it comes to the awra, there's two things you have to consider. The amount of skin or whatever that is exposed and the length of it. The amount and the length. Here he'll mention al-awra, fahush, something that is extreme, right? It says here, وَمَنْ انْكَشَفَ بَعْضُ عَوْرَتِهِ وَفَحُشْ. Fahush, it's extreme, it's a lot. أو صلى في نجس. Then we'll talk about the najis that's coming up. So if someone's awrah has been exposed during salah for a long time, then it invalidates the prayer and he/she must repeat it. So here he says it has to be for a long time. Okay, someone's awrah is exposed and he doesn't care. It's exposed for a long time, and that's why we remind people. You have to cover your awrah. You have to make sure your shirt is not short. You have to make sure that your shirt is not short, especially for the shabab, right? If your shirt is too short, then you go for, okay, you're like, oh no, it's covering, alhamdulillah, mashallah. But then when you go into ruku' and sujood, it comes out, and then you can, your aura is exposed, and especially sometimes, like, you can see the behind. Yani the person's like, yani behind. Right? So you're in a place of salah, yani in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you have your neighbor behind you, miskeen, like, he has to look at something, okay, that nobody wants to look at. Yes, if it's for a long period of time, he doesn't cover it, then it's invalid. Type, what if it's exposed, like his shirt is tucked in, then it comes, it untucks, and he quickly covers it, then it's fine. It should be fine. But what if someone is like doing Umrah or something, and his whole ihram falls off? Like that's something fahish, right? And wallahu ta'ala, that would invalidate, okay, his salah. It says, if severe awrah, then even a short amount of time will invalidate it. Someone has an izar, some cultures do an izar, and he doesn't have something under it. And it falls off, this is something fahish, even for a short time, khalas, his salah is invalidated, he has to repeat. So again, when it comes to awrah, how bad the awrah is exposed, how much awrah is exposed, and the length. Okay, so if it's something small for a short time, no problem. But if it's something huge, okay, even for a short time, then he has to repeat the salah. Naam. Even if done by mistake. Naam. Yeah, like we said, there would be karaha in that. It would be makruh. Yani it's not something that is something that's frowned upon. And if the person does his best to not do that, he gets rewarded for that. Like, does it invalidate his salah? No, it doesn't invalidate his salah because he's covering his awrah. Okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I know. But like, unless we have a dalil to make it invalid, you want to invalidate someone's salah, you have to have a strong dalil. Naam. If it's covering, then it's covering. But if it's too tight, yeah, fi karaha, yani يكون فيها كراهة. Allahu a'lam. طيب. If he prayed with najasa on his clothes, this is your question. طيب. If he prayed with najasa on his clothes, so he says here, أو صلى في نجس أو غصب ثوبا أو بقعة أعادة. Okay, so he says here, if someone, so there's three things here. Okay, he prays in najis, or something najis, right? Or something that has been stolen or it's not his. Tamam. Either the thob or the place. يعني until you rob the house or something, and you're praying in a robbed house. Does your salah count? It's a good fiqh question, okay? Or the thawb, or the place that you're praying. Type. So he says here, if he prayed with najasa on his clothes, place, or body, or he prayed with basically like something, makhzoob, taken, that's not yours, okay? So a taken cloth or place. So if you've taken someone's thawb to cover yourself, it's not yours. Or you've taken a house, it's not yours, and you're praying with that thawb or in that house, okay? It says here, then he must repeat because it was not counted, okay? Fa your salah in a thawb that has najasa doesn't count, okay? Your salah in a thawb that was taken, it's not yours, it doesn't count. Your salah in a place that's not, yani it's maghsoob, okay? Your salah will not count, okay? He says, except, he makes an exception. لا من حبس في محل نجس أو غصب لا يمكنه الخروج منه. He says, except for the person, okay, who was taken prisoner, and the place is najis. So, I mean, some of you have heard the interviews of these people who are in prisons, okay? Like I was listening to this person, I think it was a Saudi man in Guantanamo. He was saying that they you do it where you are, yani you're number one, number two, right? You go to the bathroom where you are. They don't care. Tamam? And so, in a place like that, he has to pray. Does he have to pray? He has to pray. How does he pray? Aslan, he's covered in najas. It's not like the place is najas, yani his urine might have fell on the ground, and he has najasa, so he prays, he's ma'adur. He's excused. Or he's in a place he has no idea that's actually, his friend gave him, Salim gave you a thobe, but it was stolen. You don't know it's stolen, okay? It's not your responsibility. But he would never do that. Yeah, he would never do. طيب. Jamil. تفضل. Uh-huh. Yeah, we said that, so in Tahara, we missed you in Tahara. You can, inshallah, watch the recordings. We said in Tahara, whoever was here, remind us. If you're slaughtering an animal that's halal, and some blood comes on you, is that okay? Yeah. We said it's okay, yani something a little bit minor. Yeah, amen. When you go to slaughter next week, okay, and some blood, a little bit of blood comes on you from an animal you're allowed to eat, then it's okay. But if, like, you slaughter him and the whole blood gushes on you, then no, that has to be removed. That cloth has to be removed. We're going to stop here. So, alhamdulillah, we covered three. Tahara, the time enters, and covering the aura. Let me see this question. Is it permissible to perform prayer wearing, for a woman? I think it says, yeah. Is it permissible for a woman to perform prayer wearing loose fitting trousers that do not outline? Yeah, we probably have to have a whole, I think, maybe lecture on these questions of tight. Is it so she has to cover her aura. If she's not covering, if she covers her whole aura, her salah is valid. But if she's wearing some tight clothes, because here's the thing, like, a lot of people misunderstand what hijab is. Yani what's, if I ask what's hijab, yeah, some people say what? What's hijab, Yusuf? There you go, yeah, so this is a problem. They'll say that hijab is the scarf, right? So that means you can wear a t-shirt and... The hijab is the full dress. Tamam? But the full dress that covers the person, so no transparency and it's loose, that's the proper hijab. Tamam? So if you can fulfill those conditions, someone might tell you, well, it has to be a black, loose abaya. If you can fulfill those conditions, that you cover the areas you're supposed to cover, and... It's loose, and it doesn't show the shape of the body, then you've fulfilled the obligation of hijab. This, and as long as you know the general rule, then you can apply that. Sitr al-awra is from the conditions. So inshallah her salah would be accepted, but she might be sinful for wearing something that is so tight like that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If there's a question, we can take it. Otherwise, we're going to do adhan and pray inshallah. But let's Yusuf was first. Fadal Yusuf. So if a person with bad hygiene, like has a bad smell, so is his salah valid? His salah would be valid. Is he sinful for hurting other people? Probably, yeah, because we do qiyas on the garlic, and you know, like, you're hurting other people, so you shouldn't do that. So you should make sure that you smell good, because then you're ruining the salah of the other person. Sounds good. You got your chance. تفضل. سؤال. Someone had a question here. Yeah, تفضل. Yeah. Naam. I had this question multiple times, and I know it's difficult. So the question is, Isha time for kids in the summer. Even for us, it's hard. Forget the kids. Even us, it's. I know there are some scholars that have permitted it. I just don't see the reason. Wallahu a'lam. I don't think it's an excuse. Yani for someone to have to pray early and sleep. I think we have to accommodate. If someone is not baligh, it's fine for them to not pray at all. Yani it's not obligatory on them. Yani مش واجب عليهم. Like if someone is baligh, 15, they will stay till 1 o'clock for a movie, for a friend's party, for qiyam, for tarawih, when we do tarawih here. They're here. What you want to do is you want to get them to sleep in the middle of the day, and so it doesn't ruin their sleep. And inshallah, يعني, you're rewarded for that. يعني. Like into, for an excuse to do jama', because we're going to go through jama' qasr later in the inshallah in the fiqh of salah, and there's conditions for that. And so if you don't have one of those conditions, the reasons for jama', right? For jama' here, it's not qasr, for jama', then you wouldn't have an excuse. Wallahu a'lam. But inshallah, when we get to that, you'll see the reasons for jama'. Tafaddal. Yeah, so if you're jet lagged, I'm gonna assume you're jet lagged, or I don't know what else is wrong with you. You took some sleeping pills. So if you're jet lagged, مثلا, this happens to people who مثلا, come from Saudi and then come here, مثلا, some the time differences. You pray Fajr and then you sleep and you wake up Isha time. Or people do that on purpose in Ramadan, right? So they don't feel the fast. Al Maghrib, they wake up exactly when the food is tayyib. We're laughing, but we shouldn't do that. طبعاً, unless you have an excuse. لكن, yeah, you have to make the salawat. يعني. You wake up. What's your excuse? يعني, are you sinful? You're saying, رفع القلم. يعني the person who fell asleep and he couldn't wake up, then it's not he's not sinful on that, and he has to make them up. So he gets up. He figures out that duhur, asr, maghrib is gone. He prays them in order. He gets up, he makes the iqamah for each one, duhur, and then asr, and then maghrib, right? He prays them in order, and then he prays his isha. You should make iqamah, it's recommended now. It's recommended. And we said it's wajib on fard kifayah, yani for everybody. 100% most likely somebody did it, but yani it's recommended to do. Huh? Ah, yalla, yalla. Yalla, Kinan. Yalla, you can have a question. You forgot? خلاص after salah inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum.